Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we return to the subject of Confederate flags, not in the South, in New York. Confederate flags are right here in our own backyards. What to make of it? Joining me now to discuss his new reporting on this is WNYC's Arun Venugopal. Hi, Arun.
Hi, Brian.
So this is a project that sought to locate Confederate flags around New York State, do I have that right, following the violence in Charlottesville?
That's right. That's when the newsroom decided this was something we need to sort of identify and explore right here in our own backyard. So we turned to a number of public radio stations around the state because we wanted to, A, identify how many we could find, at least not just through the stations themselves, but also through their audiences, our audience, and then also talk to people about why, what their motivations are for flying a flag.
So what'd you do, just drive around and look for Confederate flags?
No, what we did is we turned to our audience and we crowdsourced it. So we got well over 200 reports of flags, and then we clearly, we could not, fact check every single flag. Some of these are in very remote places. We focused on a few, and those are the stories that we presented. Three different vignettes or cases. One was told by a fellow reporter at upstate in Plattsburgh for North Country Public Radio. His name is Zach Hirsch. Another by Monica Sandreski, who is with WSKG outside of Binghamton.
So, for example, in the Binghamton area, you spoke to a man named Tim, a farmer who lives in Broome County near there, and you wrote, he's a Civil War nostalgist, but as someone who was raised in New York, he thinks opportunity has dried up and that the best way to revitalize the upstate economy is to secede from downstate. There are a lot of New Yorkers who want to secede from upstate, but that's a different show. but that's why he flies the Confederate flag, and he said this.
I think that New York State needs to break away from New York City. New York City has separate needs than we have up here. It's a separate world than we are. Upstate New York could be a very great place to live. Right now in the situation it is, we are talking about moving down south to a better tax state when we retire. And the north isn't for us anymore. And we kind of long to be down south.
So why did you include Tim in your story? Is it to that he confirms an idea that the Confederate flag is no longer exclusively a Southern symbol?
Well, I think a lot of these people we've spoken to or heard about do confirm that fact. This is something that's quite common. It's something that's relatively recent, actually. A lot of these flags have not been there for years and years. There's a movement, which is sort of now an all-American or a national movement to invoke the flag and other symbols of opposition. And there's also this revisionism that's going on with the Confederacy and issues of segregation, things like that. With Tim, I think it was important to hear from him because he does speak to this sort of economic disaffection. Now, the practicality of what he's saying in terms of seceding and thinking that upstate, I don't even need to get into that. But the fact is, there is a sense that life in Binghamton and the area there is not what it used to be. Small town life, rural life may have been a lot better for people of his generation. And when he's looking at younger people, he says a lot of them just don't have jobs. So I think it's sort of clinging to some sort of idea of a better past.
And that may have to do with a better past relating to the hopes for a better future in economically depressed upstate New York. But, I mean, to what I think is the point, if you're looking for Confederate flags in New York, you're looking for signs of Southern-style racism, or is that too strong?
Well, I think that that would be on a case-by-case basis. I think flying the flag itself is a form of Southern-style racism. It's a very aggressive and intimidating symbol. To somebody, whether you're African-American or not, and I think one of the people we spoke to for this story is a semiotician, somebody who's an expert on symbols, and saying that this flag is increasingly representing non-urban America, which sees itself in opposition to urban America. When people talk about the urban elites, the coastal elites, New York City in this case, this is a symbol of opposition in that regard.
And so, listeners, help us, help Arun Venugopal and us on the Brian Lehrer Show report this story. Do you own a Confederate flag? Do you display a Confederate flag in any context? If so, why? Or do you know of anyone who does? Is there one hanging from a sixth-floor apartment building on your block? And what do you think as you walk by and see it? Have you ever spoken to the people from that apartment? Or whatever helps us report this story about Confederate flags in New York. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. I see, Arun, that one of your sources was a semiotics analyst, that is a symbols expert, named Adam McGovern, who talked about why Northerners are drawn today to the Confederate flag in some cases, and here's what he said.
Rural America and, you know, non-urban America is kind of like a nationality, if not a nation now. You know, it's a very different culture, and I think some people are starting to think that the Confederate flag is like the flag of that other economically depressed, culturally disfavored America.
Which really sounds a little like Trump's inaugural speech, reference to the forgotten men and women of our country. And upstate New York certainly evokes that phrase about America's rusted factories, quote, scattered like tombstones across the landscape. So how many of the Confederate flag owners that you spoke to had first displayed their flags after Trump's election?
I focused on one particular a family in Long Island who is grappling with this. And in that situation, the mother reported her adult son to us. We had this, in the forum for people who wanted to report Confederate flags, a lot of them were saying, oh, I saw on Route 6 or in this apartment building, whatever. In this case, this woman said, in my son's bedroom. And it was only something that she was making sense of now in post-Charlottesville. It's been there for years. He's 27 or 28. And he's had it apparently since high school. They never really thought much about it until now. And it's really disturbing her and her grown daughter, who identifies as liberals, and they're very, unsettled by what they're hearing from their son. So in that situation, it's been a long time. I think that the work that's been done by groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center suggests that this is something that really started sprouting in 2015, at the same time, more or less, but slightly earlier even than Trump's ascent. If you look at that as something that happened in the summer, the Charleston flag, which was brought down in the wake of the shootings in Charleston.
The Confederate flag that was flying.
That's
there.
Right. The yes. Confederate flag over the state capitol in Columbia. When that was brought down, it initiated this huge backlash and hundreds of rallies. I think somewhere at least 400 rallies, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Many of them were in the South, but there are a considerable number outside of the South as well, in the North, in the West, in the West Coast. And so I think that was really a good way to identify sort of the spread, the expansion of this symbol.
We have a clip of one couple you spoke to that really tried to argue that they're not racist, they're just against the Black Lives Matter movement. And that's why Ricky Barber and Becca Lee fly a Confederate flag.
You look at all these people, you know, that gathered down in the South that are blacks. What about their Black Lives Matter flags and stuff like that? You know, that's pushing back on the white people. Us white people, you know, we retaliate by, hey, we got a Confederate flag and whatnot, you know.
So is that retaliation against?
It's not, you know, retaliation exactly. It's more of, look, this is, you know, our flag, this is what we stand for. You guys have the Black Lives Matter flags, that's what you guys stand for.
We are not a racist couple, and we own the flag. It's no big deal to us. I don't judge people. I don't care what color skin they are. If they need defending, I'm going to defend them. That's what a Southern Belle does.
Well, I guess, think that Black Lives Matter is somehow about hating white people rather than fighting against police brutality and other discrimination.
A common enough interpretation that's spread on the right, of course. I think that it's not an uncommon view. And I think what's also interesting about this couple, and if you heard that question being posed by someone, that was Zach Hurst, the reporter who interviewed him when he said retaliation. Is that what you said? What was interesting is the scene that played out after this. He said he was standing outside, and something we feature in the segment that we did, where they insist they're not racist. They say something to the effect of, "We have black friends, we have black family." And around that time, they call over a teenager, a black teenager, a 13-year-old, and they ask this kid to interpret the flag. It's not offensive, right? And the kid says, well, yes, it is offensive, and it represents people who want to bring slavery back to America, which they found quite shocking. For me, what was really intriguing about that is this sort of people who wanted both. They want this political provocation, a form of retaliation, but they also want some sort of affirmation from people, namely African Americans. So I think that is fairly common with a lot of people who fly symbols like this.
Ryan in Nassau County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
So I went to college in Western New York State, in a very rural pocket of our state. And I think one of the troubles that I have, and just in hearing the reporting that Arun did and the conversation that you guys have had, is that the reason that they, in that particular part of the state, and, you know, I'm guessing in other parts in Binghamton with people like Tim, part of the reason that they feel the need to fly the Confederate flag is because we tend, in this part of the state, to be a little bit more dismissive of who they are and their way of life and the differences that we have on a day-to-day basis versus what their life is like. When you live in that kind of rural poverty, that many people upstate and throughout that part of New York State face, when we have discussions about why they want to do things like secede, and in a conversation, people down here will gloss over that sort of feeling and things like what Arun said, where he said, "Oh, I don't even want to get into that." To them, that's important, and that's their way of life. And I think they don't even necessarily equate the Confederate flag with racism or that kind of old Confederate stylings in the way that we might. So I think to them, it's more a symbol. And in my experience in dealing with things like the Confederate flag in rural New York, I think to them it's more about rebelling and that idea that they are different, that they are not like the rest of New York.
Arun, does that sound consistent with what you heard?
I think that it obviously depends on the individual you speak to. I did not interview either Tim, who you played his tape a little earlier, the one who wants to secede, nor the tape of the couple that you played. Personally, I don't think you can, display this particular symbol and isolate it from its racist history. And I think that is part of a revisionism that has happened. I think that the sense of economic disaffection and the sense of cultural sort of divide from New York is real. And that's something that, New Yorkers, as your caller just suggested, do need to address. I think the symbol, though, does not really do that.
Here is Greg in Sussex County. That's northwest New Jersey. Greg, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yes, thank you, Leonard. I would just like to make a quick few observations. Sussex County, New Jersey is the northwest corner of Jersey, and it's bordered by some rural areas of New York and some rural areas of PA right across the Delaware. And, around the time of the election, I found myself driving down one of the main county roads, and it was just astounding of all the Trump supporter signs I saw, of all the American flags I saw. You got to understand the culture of this area. There's a lot of pickup trucks, a lot of camouflage. People like to wear camo. So there's a certain, I don't want to call it, I call it what it is. Look at the history. We're tribal. We're humans. We're all tribal. We have certain things we've been brought up with, certain things we go for. Anyway, I find that these Confederate flags, I mean, these are good people, obviously, and there's a lot of them up here. But when they're within their own kind, you know, I know how these people talk. I've heard them, you know, because...
And so, if you're... It sounds like you don't have one yourself, but you know any number of your neighbors who do, and do... How much, in your experience, is the flying of the Confederate flag for them about race?
Well, this is what I'm just trying to make the whole point, is that you know these people and you see them on a day-to-day basis. I might not know them that well, but you talk to them. You see them in the local, you know, whatever, bars, food stores, whatever. And it's just all, it's a race-based thing. It's how they've grown up. They know nothing else. I think in this world, mm-hmm. all we need to do is learn how to be a little more looking towards the future and tolerant of other people. But they... You know, people tend to go back to what they know, what they're comfortable with, and you know, mm-hmm. this is their job, and this is their the people they hang out with.
Tell me one other thing in the context of Sussex County, because we've talked about upstate New York, where the economy has been so devastated over the decades. I think of Sussex County as a more affluent place. It's horse country, things like that. What do you think the economic fortunes are of your neighbors who are flying the Confederate flag, maybe compared to upstate New York?
Oh, I think there's a lot of well-off people here. You know, they don't, you know, show their money. You know, like I said, they drive pickup trucks and they have beautiful houses with beautiful lawns. But it is very rural up here, and they might have a horse farm or some kind of farm. And I think that is just the way their life has always been, and they don't feel this is a an intrusion on sensibilities. I mean,
and did more of them pop out around the Trump campaign or since the election? To your eye?
Absolutely. I mean, you just look at the news stories too of hate crimes, and there's one, the particular one that comes to mind.
But I'm just asking about the flag in your area. Did it become more prevalent with the rise of Trump?
Yes, I believe it did.
Greg, thank you very much for your call. Let's play one more clip. Arun talked about this family trying to make sense of the son in the family or the brother of the younger person flying a Confederate flag in his room. And the mom is Judy. The daughter is Julia, trying to make sense of her brother's Confederate flag. And Arun, I see you spoke to the women, Julia, sister of Tristan, who's the guy, and she sent an email to you, and you had one of our colleagues read the email with Julia's permission. Mm-hmm. So let's take a listen to about a 50-second clip of what she wrote.
I honestly cannot recall the first time I saw the Confederate flag in my brother's room. What I felt lately, though, was sad, shamed, and angry with him, along with the paradoxical desire to defend his character as well as hide this part of him. The concreteness of the flag, its history and what it continues to symbolize, intolerance, ignorance, narrow-mindedness, and hate, it makes it difficult to defend a person who chooses to be in possession of one. But he is my brother, and I love him. If I had a friend who displayed the flag, I would not tolerate it at all. I would not be kind or compassionate. I wonder what this means about me. I ultimately feel helpless. Can I change his ways of thinking? Can I handle that responsibility? Are occasional brief conversations over coffee enough to inspire informed insight into his mind and heart? I'm left with more questions. Occasional brief conversations over coffee enough to inspire informed insight into his mind and heart? I'm left with more questions than answers.
So, Arun, as we run out of time, do you want people to keep getting in touch with you with Confederate flag sightings in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area?
Yeah, we haven't decided. The newsroom hasn't decided how we're moving forward on this, whether we will do more segments. I personally think it would be good to hear from people. So yes, do come forward if you have more ideas. Tweet at us or however else you want to reach us, because I think that this is something that's not going to go away.
And how would you explain to people who are flying the Confederate flag and hearing that we're collecting these sightings, that this is not like people from the city trying to, you know, tag a scarlet letter or something like that on, people from a certain culture rather than try to reach out and understand them.
Well, that's part of the reason that we did partner with our upstate and other public radio stations, because they are in those communities and I think they know them better. In one of those situations, Ricky and Becca, that was Zach, the reporter, is a neighbor. He walked down the street to them and talked to them. I think those are the conversations that we are trying to encourage.
WNYC is Arun Venugopal. You can hear the full story at WNYC.org. Thanks, Arun.
Thanks, Brian.